For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you. Singer Syndrome and part two of a two-part episode with Brendan Murphy of Counterparts. That's right. This is part two. If you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to it now. I'll wait. Okay, that's a long time to wait. I won't wait. But go back, listen to that one first. This episode is great. We talk a lot more about Counterparts. The last episode was more about his band, and it's really all good. And don't worry, at the end is the information you're really going to want. Well, I think I got into it all before, so I'll plug the usual things real quick. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Check out the Silverstein live stream on Sunday. And also be sure to check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. The link for that is leadsingersyndrome.com/all-access. That's it. Here it is. Here's part two. Totally. Well, yeah, I mean, you've been the constant in Counterparts for the whole time. You've had
a very
interesting, you know, sort of revolving door of band members.
Definitely.
And I guess revolving door kind of works because a lot of them are coming back in, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of them, like, in terms of, like, revolving door, it's like, I think that the reason why it, like, I guess it works for us more so than others is like, yes, we've had members like kind of come and go and stuff. And especially people like Jesse and Alex and, you know, like primary songwriters coming and going, but they never, like, it's not like they ever, like, they really left, you know, like, it's not like they said like, okay, like I'm quitting, so I'm done and no more help for me. Fuck you. It's never been on like bad terms, you know? So it's like, we're fortunate enough to where it's like fucking, you know, like Jesse quit, Alex quit, Alex is back in the band. Like Jesse has written for every release, despite the fact that he hasn't been in the fucking band for 4 years, 5 years, you know? So it's like, you know, yeah, like it is a revolving door, but I guess like the people that sort of like are responsible for steering the sound and, you know, what Counterparts is like, those people, like me, Jesse, Alex, like we've kind of like, we've been there, you know, even though like they both have quit and subsequently like come back and shit like that, like, you know, yeah, they're not on stage playing with us, but they are still heavily involved in writing. And like, that's always a funny thing when people, I remember when like Alex left and Jesse left and everyone's like, oh great. Like, no, like, oh yeah. Like now what the fuck are they going to sound like? And it's like, dude, he just doesn't like sleeping on floors and making no money. Like that's the reason why he left. Like when he's right beside me recording the new record, like it's going to sound the same.
Right. Right. But that's the thing. Like, people have to understand that being in a band for 10 years and only ever having 2 weeks off maximum and riding in a van, you know, for an average of 6 hours a day isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
And after a while that might get tiring, but that doesn't mean you guys hate each other or whatever. Right. Like, I do have a fan question here from Brian Hinchinski. He actually asks you about this. He says, ask him about Jesse. They had this weird thing with guitarists where they announced he's back in the band, but he's not on tour with them, but he was in a promo pick. But then the other guy, Adrian, is still in the band. They were super vague about it, and I'm 100% sure it was on purpose. That's the question.
So it definitely wasn't on purpose. What happened was Adrian did his last tour with us, and so, you know, I think we were in Europe. We came home and Adrian's like, yo, I think I'm done, but you know, I'm down to finish out the year. Right. You know, he's like, I'm not going to leave you high and dry. So I'm like, okay, I have to find somebody else again, like the 10th fucking time I have to do this. I have to find somebody else to play in the band. So I'm like looking around or whatever. And eventually like, I kind of just gave up with looking because I was like, I just don't want to like, you know, and I know it's selfish and I know it sounds fucking stupid, but I'm like, I just don't want to have to like meet somebody or like, you know, even if I know them, like, I don't know what it's like. I have, you know, there's lots of my friends that I know are more than capable of playing our shit, but I know them in terms of like, we've toured together, but we only spend like 4 hours a day together. Or, right, you know, I see them once out of the month when we play their city on tour, but I don't know what it's going to be like literally living with them, like essentially being roommates. But even then, instead of having a fucking room I can escape to, I've got, you know, what, one bench between us, you know? So, right. So I kind of just stopped looking. And then Alex called me and he's like, hey man, like, I don't know when this could be a thing, or like, I don't know if you're like, I don't know the state of the band or whatever, but Alex had written for You're Not You, you know, and like he had been around even after he had left. And he basically just told me like, hey, if anything ever happens and you need somebody to play guitar again, or like, or bass or whatever, like I'll drop everything and do it. So I'm like, oh shit, funny you should say that, because Adrian is like, he's finishing out the shit that we have this year and then we're done.
Yeah.
So, you know, so during all of this, we had the studio time booked. We had already been writing. We had like done one like week long, like kind of pre-pro session with Will and shit with Adrian and everything. And so everything was kind of set in stone. So Adrian leaves and we're talking and we're in the middle of doing Nothing Left to Love. And I call, like, you know, and Alex had been there for a week to write and do some shit. Then he went home and then he called me after he got home and was like, nah, man, like I need to be back. Like I love it. I'm on board full time. Let's go. So I'm like, okay. So we do the record, do the whole thing. But again, like, so, you know, like Adrian and him and I are still good friends. Like, you know, we talk almost every day, if not every other day.
Yep.
But you know, so he basically just said like, yeah, I don't really think I like it anymore. Like, I don't think it's for me. Like, I'm getting older. He's like, he was the oldest one in the band. He's like 32,
yeah,
something, 31, like whatever, you know? And he, like, understandably, he's like, yeah, well, I don't know if I can make a fucking career out of this. So I'm out. So he leaves and it's like, so he's, you know, in the midst of all of this, it's like, okay, do the record, fucking do the video, do this thing. So the confusion I think came from the fact that like, when we like announced everything and we were like, yeah, like fucking Nothing Left to Love, like check out this video. And like, you know, there's these promos and stuff, like,
right,
Alex was in them and everybody was like, yo, where's Adrian? Like, what the fuck is happening? This is weird. whatever. And we didn't really say anything because it was like, you know, I didn't really want to like want to talk about it, but I posted a little thing just saying like, hey, Adrian left and Alex is back in the band and, you know, everything's all good. Like we're, you know, essentially who cares? Like we're still the same.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But then, you know how people
then,
are though,
you know, for sure. For sure. Right. But then I think because like, you know, the first tour after we did that, after we put out a record was the headliner. So it's like, you know, the day before tour starts, we filmed that Nothing Left to Love and, like Wings of Nightmares, or like Love Me Wings of Nightmares video on the rooftop, like the Live Nation building or whatever in Hollywood. Like we do that. So that comes out and kids see Adrian in it because Adrian's still finishing the year because Alex like had a legit job that he couldn't just like up and leave. Right. So Alex is at home working, being like, fuck, the band I just rejoined is on tour. And then Adrian is with us being like, I don't necessarily want to be in this band, but I want to be a good guy and I don't want to fuck him over. So that comes out. Adrian, like, you know, around the same time, it's like Paradise and Plague video. Alex is playing guitar. This fucking stupid, like weird, like rooftop fucking thing that we did. Adrian's playing guitar. Then kids are coming to shows and seeing us. And they're like looking at us on stage being like, Adrian's still playing guitar. Like what the fuck is happening right now? You know? And like that, and it generated like a lot of confusion. And I guess like, I don't know, I guess like the reason why I didn't like comment on it or kind of like make, you know, or like make a statement or whatever. And I didn't like, it's because I just didn't, I don't know, like for like more or less, like I just didn't fucking care. Like it didn't matter. Like I know it was confusing, but to be fair, like I did say, in the post, the original post, like I did say, like Alex is back, Adrian's finishing out the year, like yeah, we're good. Don't worry about it. Like just some news. But people, you know, people were so confused by it.
Yeah, but people don't always see shit now, too, right? You can make an announcement,
that's the other
like
thing, for sure.
Or whatever about the video, and then it's going to get more reach because it's like some bigger piece of content. And then you just quickly post something about, oh, this is just clarification. And then that gets like 10% of the reach and then no one ever sees it. Everyone's confused.
Of course.
It's just that's the problem that we live in with like, you know, Facebook or social media or whatever. So.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, that was it. And it's like, obviously it was never my intention to like confuse people and like freak people out or whatever. But I just like, I just didn't really feel the need like, But I mean, when I say like to tell people and sort of like make a post and shit, it's like, I was like doing that on the Twitter. Like people were like tweeting at us being like, so who's playing guitar? Is it Adrian or Alex? And I would respond back saying like, Adrian's finishing up the year because Alex has a legitimate job that he can't just quit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, starting next year, Alex is in the band and like, you know, people responding to the video being like, is Alex back in? And I'm like, yeah, like, yeah, he's back in. And they're like, well, why is Adrian on tour with you then? And I'm just like, oh, so I kind of just got sick of like having to talk about it.
Sure.
That I was just like, you know what? Whatever. I don't fucking care.
You have explained this. You've explained this very well. Yeah. That's great.
It's like people fucking, you know, people like being like, wait a minute. Like, so Brandon has blonde hair now and shit and like doing that and like talking. It's like, yo, just fucking, it's going to sound the same when you see it live. It's going to sound the same on record. Like, Don't worry about it. You know, just chill. It's fine.
So I got two more questions for you. Thank you for hanging out with me this long. I'm sure you don't have too much else going on, but,
Literally fuck all,
but I have two more questions. These are all from the same guy. Cause he's a super fan of yours, Brian.
Oh, let's go.
And,
thank you, Brian.
Yes. He, says, have you ever considered being a content creator or something? Your videos on Insta are hilarious and your tweets are all so fucking genius. Hilarious. Ha ha ha.
I don't know if genius is the right word, but
well, sometimes I do like wonder how your brain works to come up with some of this shit, you know?
Honestly, it's like, you know, that thing that normal people have where it's like, they'll think about something and they'll either be like, no, like I need to say this. I need to put this out there. Or they'll go, that's like, why am I even thinking that's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard? Like, why the fuck would I ever say this out loud?
Right.
Like, I don't have that. I think like that's just kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, but
has anyone approached you at all to write like write comedy or do like any sort of stuff like that? Or is that something you can be interested in doing?
I would say like that is like, I guess maybe not like necessarily like content creator type stuff. Like I don't see myself doing like, you know, having like being like a YouTube guy or like doing that kind of shit. But in terms of like comedy, like, you know, stand up, fucking like writing, like, you know, being like, you know, I think like, I don't know. And I don't want this to sound like bad. And I don't want it to sound like I don't, like I'm over it or whatever. But I think that like logically that is sort of like the next step in my life. And no, like, so no one's approached me about it. Like I'm literally clueless, but I want to do that so bad. Like, oh, yeah. It's almost getting to a point where it's like, you know, when I was in high school and then younger, and I was like, all I want to do is fucking go on tour with my, like with a band and just like play shows every night and stuff like that. Like now as like a 29-year-old, I'm like, all I want to do is make people laugh. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's like, I think I'm good enough at it. And if I'm not good enough, I'll fucking learn.
Yeah.
And so awesome. I'm in like a weird, it's kind of like what we talked about, you know, when you're like, oh yeah, like how are you holding up? And I'm like, honestly, being home is like kind of sick. You know what I mean? Like not being on tour is like, I miss it. Sure. But like, it's kind of nice. And so, you know, I like,
you start
not
thinking,
that I'm gonna,
you start
like,
thinking about just the other side of yeah. life, right?
Of course. And it's like, you know, I'm getting to a point where it's like, I'm 29, and I think if I was in a better spot, I guess, or it's like not to say like, oh, I wish fucking Counterparts was like more popular and we were like radio friendly and shit, because like we could do that at any point. We could just fucking, I could be like, yeah, fuck Breakdowns, like we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna do like radio rock shit because I want money. But we don't, because, you know, we have some sort of, like, you know, there's, for whatever, I don't know what it is, but there's something holding us back, being like, no, like, you know, stay true to what you started.
How
do
would
it
Blake,
right. Don't
how
be,
would Blake
don't
feel,
be a fucking idiot.
How would Blake feel if you guys went shoegaze?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it would be all sorts of PTSD for him, but, you know, so like, but yeah, I mean, that is just like, I don't know if it's because like, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that like, you know, I am getting older and I'm sort of realizing like, you know, people that are my age. And I think this is like ultimately one of the reasons why Adrian was probably like, nah, I'm over it. You know, people my age, like I'm starting to see my friends and it's like, you know, they're, or even like peers, like in our world where it's like, you know, they're like, I've toured with X band and I know X member and it's like, they, you know, I start to see like, you know, like, I don't know if it's jealousy or something, but it's like, well, fuck man. Like they have a house and like, they don't, you know, they're not driving the car that their mom gave them and they're not fucking, you know, they're not like, fucking trying to make like an extra $100 off of switching American money to Canadian money in their TD apps, just so that way they have like money to go
right.
get dinner for a couple of days and shit like that. And it's like, you know, and like, I definitely don't want it to come off like I'm saying I'm struggling. Like I'm doing fine and I'm okay. I don't necessarily have like expensive taste and I don't have like a lavish lifestyle. I kind of just chill out. So I'm doing fine for what it is, but there's definitely like, you know, that sort of thing kind of like, it always kind of like goes through my head where I'm going like, okay, like, is there a ceiling with this? Like, is there an end date? It, like how long can I fucking do this for, or, and maybe not even do it. Like how long should I let this go before I start to have, like, before I start to like actually come up with a backup plan? Because, you know, right now, if Counterparts was like, if, I don't know, if we all one day like got in a fucking fist fight and we were like, band's done, fuck it. Like it would be hard, but I would think I would be okay, because it's like, yeah, I'm only 29. It's not that big of a deal. But what if this band goes until I'm like 35 or 40 and like, and then what? Like, do I go to fucking college at 40 years old? Like, you know, when I go in to apply for a job at 40, like, do I fucking, they're going to be like, your last job was fucking, you know, 30 years ago and it was at Hot Topic in Burlington, you know, like it's just, you know, so I'm always sort of like looking for other avenues and like right. other ways. So it's like, you know, and well, I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want anybody to think like they're fucking done.
Oh,
it's
I'm
over.
Sure there's
like,
a few people freaking out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's like, it definitely, that's definitely not the case. I still do love it, but the two main things that I guess I get enjoyment out of, the only two in my life, are like playing shows and like doing music and making people laugh. So it's like, as I get older, I'm starting to realize like, is there a fucking way that I could take what I've got from music and, you know, like entertainment as a whole and sort of like shift it
right.
and maybe kind of turn that into like writing for sketch shit or like, you know, doing fucking stand up or doing something or being the funny fucking Twitter video guy. Like, I don't know, you know right. what I mean? So I'm always thinking about that, but I kind of like, you know, something always pulls me back to like, I'll, you know, to end it on a, on like a note to fucking make sure people don't freak out. Something always kind of pulls me back to be like, well, I can't just fucking leave, you know, I can't just like stop playing in Counterparts. I can't just like up and quit and leave like
well,
a fucking,
no. I mean, you guys,
you know,
have, you guys.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You guys have gotten bigger and bigger, and more people are finding out about you all the time, and your
yeah,
records
yeah.
have gotten better and better, you know. But this kind of leads into my next
thing. It's almost frustrating because I'm like, you know, part of me, like, I just want to fucking gather everyone and be like, figure it out. Like, do you fucking like us or do you hate us? Like, just fucking pick one so I can figure out what I'm going to do with my life. But, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about before, where it's like the band just gets consistently bigger, and it's like, you know, it's
yeah.
easy to sort of like compare yourself to peers and be like, well, you know, they got fucking huge or whatever, but it's like, you know, there's something to be said about that little, like little bit of growth per album, per tour
and longevity
as well, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like we don't know, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with someone like Knocked Loose. I mean, obviously they got so big so fast. You know,
sure,
they
sure.
were like massive, and then their second record came out and they like went into the stratosphere, and I think they're going to be
for sure.
here for a long, long time.
But, oh, of course, yeah.
But I assume that they will be.
Yeah, yeah. I truly think that they will.
Me too.
But
there are bands that do go through this tremendous amount of success early on, and then they kind of burn out real quick, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they break
yeah,
up or whatever. And with Counterparts, you know, and your kind of constant ride – you know, you guys have
yeah,
been
yeah.
whatever it is, six albums later, you guys are
for sure
are really consistent. But this does kind of lead into my next question
yeah.
from Brian. He asks about touring with bands like Stray from the Path and Varials over and over again. He's gone on the record saying he doesn't listen to booking agents and managers or whatever who tell him they have to tour with this band or this band.
Sure.
He just
sure.
wants to tour with his friends. Now, based on what you've just said, you know, and switching over the US dollars to Canadian to try to get a little extra exchange to,
yeah, yeah.
to pay for dinner. I mean, do you look
yeah,
back with any regrets
to get photo, though.
That you never did some of those big tours that you maybe could have done if you took less money at the time, you know, like
yeah,
Warped
yeah.
Tour, you finally did it. And then it was really good for you guys in terms of getting
sure,
a bigger
sure.
audience. What's your take there?
Yeah. Yeah. I like, so I wouldn't say that we have some sort of like vendetta against like doing bigger tours and shit like that. It's like, I don't get me wrong. Like, I fucking love it. Like when we did fucking Europe with Architects, like it was insane. Like,
yeah.
you know, we go from being like, hey, yeah, fucking 200 kids, 300 kids in the room, kind of sick to like, oh, we played in front of 10,000 people at fucking 7 PM. This is nuts. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it was like, it's awesome. And like, we will, like, we'll always do those tours and stuff like that. But again, like going back to what I was saying, it's like, it's just been so fucking long that, you know, like, I don't know. We're not really like, again, not to sound egotistical, but it's like, we literally talked about it in the last podcast that we did years ago, where it's right. like, you know, we have this, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's like, we have sort of this like underdog quality about us. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're not small, but we're not big. And it's like, you know, we're not fucking, you know, but the people that care, like really, really care. So when it comes time to do like tours and stuff like that, again, going back to what I was saying about like, you know, we've been doing this forever and all that shit. It's like, I kind of reached a point where I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, if we got offers to do bigger tours and it's like, you know, oh, fucking Slipknot wants to bring you out or something like that. Like, I'm like, you think I'm going to say no to that? Like, that's fucking insane. Of course I would do it. Of course. Right. But I think that like the problem is like, we're such like a weird band and because we haven't had our like, you know, we haven't had that like click where we fucking blew up or anything like that. And it has been such a constant like climb, even if it's like one stair at a time, because of that, like we just kind of get overlooked for bigger tours and shit like that. And, you know, and like support slots on bigger tours and stuff, or we just straight up get like undervalued and we get offers for like tours and festivals yeah. and shit like that. And it's just like, you know, there was some shit that we got like offers we got in for like festivals in Europe and stuff like that. And it's like, I know that like, you know, worldwide, like mainland Europe, like is our smallest market and it is starting to turn around now, finally, like 4 years from the initial podcast, when we talked about right. it, like it is starting to like, you know, we are starting to do well, like the tour we just did with fucking Can't Swim, Chamber, Static Dress, like it was fucking awesome. The mainland shows were like probably better than a lot of the UK shows. So it's yeah. like the gears are kind of turning, but you know, that's kind of the problem is like, people don't really see that. They see like, oh, this band has been around for like fucking 10 years and they're only this big, like type of thing. So we get some of these offers and it's just like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Right. You know what I mean? I'm like, and
right. We can't, like, we can't play for 250 euros, you know?
Yeah, straight up. And it's yeah. like, you know, and like, I know that we'll always get, like, people will always argue that and say things like, but it's about the music and you should love it and stuff like that. And it's like, yes, it is. Like I agree with you 100%. And it's, but like, there are instances where it's like, hey, do you want to get on a plane and do a 30-day tour here where you make no fucking money? And you know, you're going to have to rough it. It's going to be bad. The drives are going to be so fucking long and you can't afford a bus. So you're driving, you know, you're driving yourself or you're fucking, you know, or you're in a Sprinter or something. And it's like, you know, we get these kind of like, we still get these offers and it's just like, at some point you just kind of have to be like, no, like I can't do that. It's like, you mean to tell me that you want me to like go on tour for a month and lose my own personal money? It's like that like,
right.
I just don't have to do that. Like I there's no, you know, it's like, yes, I love playing shows and I love music, but it's like, I could, if that's the case, like we could just do a tour anywhere else and just do like a headliner or like, you know, play some shows around Canada or around like, you know, like anywhere. Like there's so much, yeah. like, that's, you know what I mean? And,
sure.
and I think that that's something that a lot of people don't, no. people don't understand where it's like, yes, like the reason why we play the music that we do is because we love the music that we make and we love metalcore and that time frame of when we came into it. Like that's why we sound the way we do, because in my opinion, that was like the golden age and stuff. But at a certain point too, it's like, well, you know, it would kind of be irresponsible for me to at 29 years old, go and like, you know, dedicate so much time like to being gone for nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
like at like, if it's not going to be fun, like then it needs to be like a smart move financially, or like, if it's not going to be fun, but you know, like, let's say it's like, okay, you're getting paid dog shit. No one's going to like you, but, no one's going to know who you are, but there's going to be like thousands and thousands of people. And like, you might gain fans from it. It's like, yeah, like right. I would do that.
Right. Well, but, that's the main thing. You know, I mean, I think that's the
for sure.
that's the maybe the thing that it's like hard to know when to do that. It's hard to know when,
Of course.
This tour, yeah, we're going to eat shit financially. And like maybe it's going to be really, really tough.
It'll help in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe that's like maybe the question of that he's asking, you know, of like, what, you know, what's your take now? Do you have any like kind of regrets about that and maybe tours you could have taken and now you're maybe that would have helped with our overall growth and maybe now we would be further along. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I would say like in terms of like support offers for us, I guess like, you know, like, no, I don't wish that we did more because we literally did everything. Like when we started the band, like we did fucking every tour that we got offered. Like we literally did not say no. Like saying no to certain tours and like offers we're getting in fest and shit like that. Like even though we've been a band for so fucking long, like that's still a relatively new thing.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, I don't think we could have done more. Like, you know, yeah, there were definitely some tours that we got that we were just like no fucking way, like this, you know, like people asking us to like buy on to tours in the early years and shit. And we were like, well, this is kind of a slap in the face, so kiss my ass. And like, no, I don't regret not doing those at all.
But
I think if anything, in terms of support and stuff like that, like I think that we are a bit stubborn now. Maybe it's just because we've been around forever and because we're older and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, yeah, you know, like if a tour is like, if I want to have fun, like I want to be around my friends, like, yeah, I think like moving forward, like we probably should branch out just like a little bit more and maybe not tour with Straight from the Path and Burials and like, you know, all of our good friends, like all the time. But, you know, I think a lot of the reason why that happened on the second Private Room tour and then the lineup was what it was is because like, you know, we were, again, it goes back to like, we were trying to get bands and we were trying to branch out and do some other shit. And everybody either said no, or they said like, nah, like we're bigger than you. We're not doing that or whatever. Yeah. Even though we kind of had proof to justify that they should be playing under us. So I think in terms of headliners, like there is probably a lot more that we can do and we probably will do it. But, the reason why I was saying that is because like Private Room in itself, like the whole idea of it is like, we're in a karaoke room with your friends. You're going fucking crazy. It's sweaty. Like you're all screaming. It's fun. And it's like, that's why like a Private Room tour, like it will just be friends. Like just cause it's a Counterparts headliner doesn't mean it's a Private Room tour. Like Private Room literally means like, okay, like I don't care if the turnouts are bad and the shows suck or whatever, like that, like having that to it, I guess literally means like, yeah, this is just a tour with our friends. So like, yeah, if you're at home and you're bored, you see the lineup and you're like, I'm bored of this. I don't really want to go because this doesn't really matter. It's like, yeah, okay. You don't have to, like, you know what I mean? You don't have to at all. It's all good because then we'll do like a proper fucking headliner and it'll be different. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I think it's good. But, I mean, I think it's good to give people some different shit, you know, like,
yeah, totally. No one,
but that's I
haven't said on record, like from now on, I'm only touring with my friends' bands. Like that would be fucking shooting myself in the foot for sure. Like that'd be stupid. But, you know, but, honestly, like we're just, you know, not to be like, oh, feel sorry for me, like poor me type shit. Cause like, I get it. I still get to fucking play breakdowns for a living, but, yeah, just like a lot of the times, like opportunities just don't really show up for us. And it's like, you know, so I guess to remedy that and to like not let that bother me, we just started being like, all right, we're just going to do our own thing then, I guess. Like, you know, like rather than being miserable, like we were in the past, like we talked about this where it's like when we were coming up in Ontario and everybody like fucked with us and, you know, no one really like took us fucking seriously and shit like that. And we were angry. Like I was so angry because I was, you know, like we weren't accepted by like in the hardcore world and then the metalcore, like, cause we were too fucking techie and you know, whatever the word
and
is.
And you're on Victory Records. That's like always something that people, you know, there was a lot of boxes that you checked that you had to overcome.
Yeah, that was just a write-off.
I mean, I don't need to. I didn't bring any of that up. We talked enough about that the last time, and it's so far in the rearview mirror now. Like, you guys have solidified yourselves as very legitimate, and like, you guys have become like a cool band, you know?
Yeah, I think that for sure. And I think that, like, yeah, I could have went about it better. I think, like, I definitely didn't need to get as heated and upset about it, but it was just so frustrating at the time, because it was like, you know, we had, like, the hardcore kids didn't like us because we were too metal or metalcore or whatever, but then you had the metalcore kids that were like, no, this band doesn't have fucking scrims, and they're not running and doing the synchronized shit, and they don't have a fucking keyboard and all this stuff that was like metalcore at the time. And so I was so mad, because I was like, I'm like, well, we fit in sonically more with this crowd, but like, you know, in terms of what we believe and why we're doing this, we fit in more with the hardcore crowd, but we just weren't really like accepted by either. Yeah. And so, like, you know, that's something I talk about a lot, where people, you know, like, I'll talk to people and they're, you know, they're like, oh, you were like a prick. And it's like, yeah, I was, because I was just so upset that, because I thought that we were just trying to be like a good, like, we were just trying to be like a good band that was transparent and wasn't bullshit. No. And we were just kind of like met with, either way, everywhere we looked, it was a middle finger. And I was young and I was fucking angry. I was just sort of getting the grasp on my own mental health. And I was just like, I was a prick. I was a fucking miserable, man.
Well,
but, you know, finally,
I will say though,
it all kind of worked out. It just kind of, it took forever. But
yeah.
I think also people kind of realized, like, oh, he's kidding. Oh, he's joking around. Right. I get it.
They get it
now. He
doesn't
actually mean it. But yeah, back in the day, people were like, how could someone be this conceited? And I'm like, bro, it's a fucking goof, man.
But it's the bands that go against the grain a little bit, the bands that you can't just put into the, you know, the square peg into the square hole or whatever it is, you know, pigeonhole, the typical band, those, like, it's better to be, in the long run, I feel like it's better to be the odd man out a little bit. You know, even with my band, we never fit in with anything perfectly. We toured with Rise Against. We don't sound like Rise Against.
You know,
we toured with Billy Talent. We don't sound like Billy Talent. Like, but we had to do something. And, you know, the tours where we were the softest band on a metal tour or the heaviest band on a more like pop punk tour, we stood out, and a lot of people hated it, but at the same time, you know, a lot of people were refreshed when we came on and they didn't hear four of us on the same,
you know,
bill. So I do think that there's something to be said for that, man.
Yeah.
Dude, we might have to make this a two-parter. This is a long as hell.
I'm sorry.
I know you're a talker. So that's why I prepared my two coffees. But anything else to tell the people before I let you go? Obviously, check out the new End record.
Yeah.
It's out now.
New End record. I hope you like it. You know, if it's a little bit out of your, I don't know, comfort zone or whatever, maybe you're more familiar. You know, maybe you're listening to this because you like Counterparts and you don't really, you're not into that, like, you know, really like the heavier side of metal shit. Like, you know, I feel like there's something for everybody. So give it a chance.
I dig it.
You know, but yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, to reiterate what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, you know, I don't know. Like, there's fucking, I don't know. It's hard to, like, I don't know. It's just so fucking sad. And I think, and if you're involved in this fucking, in the scene or any scene or whatever, or something like that, or even if you're just like a good person, and if you actually consider yourself like to have empathy, like, you know, at this time, like, fucking, I don't know when this is going to come out. So maybe there'll be a fucking civil war by then, but who knows? But, you know, just fucking, I don't know. Okay. Black Lives Matter. I guess, you know, stand up to everything that, you know, stand up to the oppressors and shit.
Well,
don't be fucking scared. Don't be like me. Don't be worried that, oh fuck, if I'm not funny, what am I? Sometimes you just, you know, fucking fight the good fight, you know?
I love it. I love it, man. All right. Well, I'm going to play a tune for the people from your record, from Splinters from an Ever-Changing Face. Which song should I bust out?
My absolute favorite song on the record is Fear For Me Now.
Let's do it.
Just so sick. Just fucking rocks. I think, anyway.
It's a rocker.
Might be biased.
Here it is. Everyone. And with Fear For Me Now on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thank you, Brendan.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yo, man.
Yo, what's up?
So I had to call you back because there was a really important thing we didn't address on the podcast.
Okay.
What's up with the egg thing?
The egg thing?
You were going to tell me that you've never had an egg in your whole life, and you were going to explain this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And then all of a sudden, we get to the end of the podcast after we talked for like an hour and a half or longer, and I still don't know. I need to get to the bottom of this egg thing.
Okay, sure. I mean, there's not really much to it. It's just like, I think, okay, so there's this like story that my parents have that when I was a kid, I guess like, I don't know, I guess like I wouldn't eat eggs. Like whenever they would make eggs and stuff, I'd be like, you know, I'd be a little kid and be like, that's gross. Like, I don't want that or whatever.
Eggs are kind of gross. And like they're really, when you think about what they are, they're really, really gross.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They're definitely a little weird. But it was mostly just like the smell. And then like, I don't know, dropped your broom. My mom,
sorry to interrupt you, dude.
No worries. My mom would like say, you know, she's like told me stories about like being like, oh, like it smells like farts or whatever. And then like all the adults would laugh at me because I was like a kid. Right.
Yeah.
And then, I guess like I found out like once I like got, I guess I like got to the age where I was like, oh, like eggs are like, they're young chickens. Like they're the rapper young chicken. And like, I saw like a, I don't know, I guess like I learned about it in school or something. And I was like eggs come from a chicken's ass. Like, that's why I don't like them, because they come from a chicken's ass. And like, my mom always tells that story of like me telling people that like, it's from a chicken's ass. Like, why don't I eat eggs? Like, because it's from a chicken's ass. It's gross. And so I just like, I lived most of my life without eating them. Well, I've lived all my life without eating them, but it's like, so I guess as I got older, it became like a thing. Like it was like, you know, as like with every year that passed, it would be like, oh, like Brendan, you're going to try an egg this year? And I'd be like, no, like never. And it was just always this thing. And then it got to a point where it was like, you know, I'm like an adult and it's just like, it's more funny than anything. Like, I'm sure that maybe now if I tried them, I would like them. But I don't want to just because it's funny. Like I can't imagine them being like that good where I'm going to be like, oh my God, I've been missing out on this for 29 years. Like it's probably, you know, I'd probably try it and be like, this is fine. You're like, this is okay. But
well, it's a pretty
unique
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know because it's like, it's so funny. Like being able to say that, like, you know, like I was straight edge, I broke edge, like all that shit.
Right.
Like every other thing I've tried in my life, I've failed. So it's like, I can't like, you know, I don't have that, like,
left.
I don't have that one thing that like I said I would never do. And then I actually never do it. And it's the fucking egg thing. So I'm like, yeah, I'm never having an egg.
What?
Unless someone like, if someone was like, yo, $1,000 to eat an egg right now, I'd be like, yep, make it. Done,
okay. All
for
right.
Sure.
You heard it here first. $1,000 he'll eat an egg. But
yeah,
you're not vegan or vegetarian or anything. Like you don't have any dietary restrictions. You eat everything.
Like literally none. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just my dietary restrictions are eggs and I don't fuck with olives.
Oh, I love olives. Oh man.
Can't do it. And then, trying to think of what else. Oh, mustard kind of pisses me off, but you know, like not like, I don't know. It's not like I'm going to have a freak out, but like eggs are the one thing where I'm like, you know, like if I go to a restaurant, I'll be like, you know, like Thai food or something like pad Thai. I'm always like, yo, no eggs
right, no
in
egg.
This. And
or,
then like if
like,
they,
or like on ramen when they put the egg on the ramen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Usually like when I go out, I tell whoever, I'm like, will you put my egg in his bowl? I don't want it. And they're like, okay.
What about,
sure.
But if there's eggs in something, like if there's eggs in like cookies or cake or whatever,
oh,
that's,
yeah, for
that's
sure.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
yeah,
the
totally
actual
fine.
Egg. On its own.
Yes.
That,
yeah, pretty much.
That's
like,
weird.
Yeah, that's where I get like the fart smell and I don't really like it. But yeah, I don't like even in terms of like you know, like I've had like cocktails where they
oh yeah
they, like whip it with like egg whites and stuff like
yep.
that or whatever, and it's like, sure, you know, like
oh,
yeah,
okay.
whatever.
Okay.
Fine by me. But yeah, as soon as you like put it into a pan and start like frying it and like scramble it or whatever, I'm just like, nope, not in your life.
Wow.
And that's pretty much it. And like I said, I'm aware of how stupid it is, but at this point it's like, it's like a sick 29 year long joke that until I think of something funnier, I'm not going to give it up.
Okay. Well, I had to ask you because I realized we went through, I was
no
finishing
worries.
Getting
I completely
the podcast
forgot.
And I'm like, I have to get to the bottom of this. Everyone's going to ask. But please, if you ever
yeah.
do, whether it's someone going to give you $1,000 or whatever happens, whatever scenario, you get really drunk, you know, the only thing left on Uber Eats is some egg place and you have to eat
yeah,
eggs.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
make sure you film
eggs.
A video of it because
of
I
course.
Have to see a reaction of what it's like
for
the first time in your life having an egg.
Yeah. And watch, like, watch.
Years.
I'll do it and I'll be like, fuck. Like that's pretty good, yeah. But but you know what I mean? Like I'm sure that's how it would go down, but it's just like imagine not doing something for 29 years and then just being like, okay, I'll try it. It's like, no, dude, this is hilarious. Like it's so fucking funny. Like that's the only reason. Even like I've had people tell like, you know, like our old guitar player Adrian, like we, you know, we fuck with ramen a lot, and so it'd be like we go to Ichiran or Puto or like, you know, good ramen spots. And he's
yeah.
like, man, that egg literally makes it. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm like, cool. I hope you like having two because I'm not eating mine. But I don't know. Maybe I'll get there one day. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, dude, thank you. Thanks for the follow-up call.
No
and,
problem. No worries.
Thanks for that.
I'm straight up just vacuuming
man.
My floor a bit. But this was a welcomed
good. Yeah. No, sorry
call,
to just,
sure.
just barge in on your life for a second, but,
oh, no worries.
I had to know.
I'm done. Hey, I was doing it while I was talking, so it's all good.
All right. Hey, while I have you, I'm going to play
yeah.
a counterpart song right now for the people. Do you have a favorite,
yeah.
maybe a deep cut or something that maybe fell through the cracks a little bit?
There's one song that I think I love it. And I think that I don't see a lot of people talking about it, but it's also like, yeah, I guess it's you know, it's like deeper on the new record, but it's a song Cherished. I think that song is really cool. And it was actually the first song like instrumentally that was written for the record. That was like, I remember Jesse coming over to my house to like play poker or something. And he's like, hey, so I've written like five songs and we're all like, what the hell? Like, we didn't think that you liked this, but okay. And then he like shows us the instrumental to that. I'm pretty sure it was called Philip or something. And that was like the first song for the record. And that kind of set the tone for the rest of it. It's a little different. Like, I guess it's more on the linear side. It's not very like catchy
But I love that song. I think it fucking rocks. Cool. And the and the chorus is fun.
Well, I'm into it. I just see the lyrics. I am the dagger. And if anyone knows Silverstein, I am the dagger.
There you go.
My friends literally call me Dagger Guy. So I'm going to love this one.
There you
one.
Go. You're sold. It was meant to be.
Well, hey, I'll let you get back to the vacuuming, but thanks again.
Of course.
All right,
no worries.
Here
Take
it is
care.
On Lead Singer Syndrome.